Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance beneath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of the...
What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and it is my pleasure to bring back my good friend and who's been... haven't been able to find him for a while because he's so busy, but... Anthem Blanchard from Anthem Vault is back. And Anthem, what's going on, my brother?
Great to be on, Bubba. Thank you, as always, for having me on the show. We are just rocking and rolling over here. A great year for the metal. So
tell me what's going on. What are you guys up to? I know we've moved to Texas, which we talked about last time you're on. And There's a reason why you moved there. Refresh everybody's memory why you're in Texas and not Nevada anymore.
so we decided that Texas was really a state that was really embracing this whole idea of gold as really the best form of private currency, and at least in the form of history, and looking back on history. And our company, Anthem Vault, is vying to head up the request for proposal for the state of Texas to operate its bullion depository that was enacted a year ago. And so we submitted a couple months ago. My great, incredible wife and our president, Cynthia Project, led it, and we're very excited about that. And we thought we were going to hear December 1st. Sometimes things take a little bit longer than anticipated, so no word yet. But we think we have a really great proposal. We think we have the winning proposal to see the state of Texas really shine in this example of this first U.S. state depository, the metal depository. It's a pretty exciting thing.
Well, I mean, Texas happens to be a great state, and it happens to be a great state for the rights of Americans, and they really abide by a lot of things that others don't, and I think that really makes that a special state as well. What do you think?
I think so. I really do. I mean, it's always had this fierce independence and a real identity in terms of Texans, and always really kind of looking. And I think the true constitutional approach, in that, really it's a choice of the states to participate in this union, and that was ultimately supposed to be the ultimate check and balance of our federal government, was the ability for states to pull out. And, I think that, while that'd be a horrific in many ways economically, I think that it's still, you have to really respect the Constitution and what was really intended there. Ultimately, it's a protection for all of us individuals. I mean, that's really where the protection comes in, against having collectivized tyranny. So I think that's something that Texas really does get, and we're really excited and proud to be in the state. Really met a lot of just incredible people. We already had a lot of shareholders and board members that lived in Texas, but now just been kind of taking that to a whole new level this year. And with Austin, the city of Austin's really been embracing. So, it's been an exciting year for us, for sure.
So what is new with Anthem Vault? You've had so many projects you've been working on. What's going on with all of your little workings that you've been working going forward to do?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. So we've got we have a really neat institutional product that we've launched this year called Anthem Vault Professional. And so basically taking the retail Anthem Vault product that we've got and then taking it to institutions. And that's something that we're really excited about. We just started there. We've been working on cryptocurrency for a long time. We've had a lot of interest there. We're kind of just deciding which way we want to go, who we want to go with in terms of partners, and really working to work with the best. So we've been excruciatingly patient there in terms of really making sure that we work with the very best people, because it's a very sensitive type of industry, because there's a lot of unknowns. It's so new in terms of cryptocurrency. So we've been really delicate there, but I'm excited about really the progress. And then really getting into the coin side of the business again. And Maggi Metal is a company that we purchased last year, and it's been really exciting to see, the clients really embrace our new leadership, and this year it's been really exciting, and I think we really helped to really just bring Unagi back to its glorious days, and that's been great. And then kind of getting into the graded collectible side of the business that my parents really helped make famous, and that's been kind of neat too. So we've been working, helping to identify different rare coins, collectible coins, graded coins for clients, and really approach that market, which is really different than, it's different, but also overlaps with the bullion market, because really a collectible, a graded coin is something, in my opinion, it's a little bit more like a piece of art with that underpinning of the metal value underneath it. So you have, something to bolster it with, irrespective of what happens with that, that rare and kind of that collectible value of having something be like a rare series of something.
So, no, I'm sorry. You keep going. Sorry. You're good. You're doing good.
No,
you keep going. I cut you off truly. You keep going, brother. Go ahead. Don't stop now.
Hey, no. I mean, it's awesome. So, pretty much everything gold and silver related, I mean, we want to help service that to our clients. So, and other metals too. So, I mean, that's who we are. We're the metals people.
And so now you're actually getting into physical. Now are you using? Are you in more of the collector's type of real metals, or are you doing something like the American Eagles or the Maple Leafs or things like that as well? Or what's your plan there?
Yeah, it's been a little bit of everything. I mean, it's in terms of the collectible side. I mean, it's been everything from Eagles graded that people like to different historic pre 1933 coins. There's a resurgence that's happening there, because I think the industry kind of hit a lull for a little bit. But I think in the age of everything being so easily copied on the internet and being able to digitally create things left and right, I think that there's this kind of renaissance coming back to things that are physical and unique. And I think even the younger generations are going to kind of reappreciate a lot of those things, because it is something different than just another digital item on a screen. So, that's been exciting. And we've been in an Anthem National Reserve brand that we launched to really focus on the collectible coin side of the business. And, it's been great. It really has been exciting to see how, that part of the business has taken off this year. And, it's new. I mean, we're new to collectible, but really not, because I learned from my dad going back, decades. It's just kind of dusting off some of the words of wisdom and then, picking it up and back again with some of the people that used to work with my dad that we're working with now. And so it's kind of neat. It's bringing that legacy back forward to the present. So something that I'm super excited about. It's going back in time for me a little bit.
And you should be super excited, because you run a great business that started out as an electronic vault, in which you took care of people and you allowed them to basically create and use, as you used to tell me, slivers of gold and things like that. And you're expanding, and now you're in Texas, a little bit in between, near more closer to where Cynthia lives, right? Or she came from New Orleans, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, where we grew up, for sure. Cynthia was born in Texas, and I grew up in New Orleans, and so it definitely helps that it's nice to kind of be back in our roots there. It's kind of bringing things back around full circle. So it's been a real pleasure. I mean, it really has been that we just go where you're loved, and Texas has really shown that loving embrace of what we're doing. And we still love what we do with Anthem Vault. It's a matter of just providing people with every sort of way to.
You do. I gotta cut you short.
Whether it's drop ship, whatever it is.
I gotta cut you short here for just a second. This is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We're with Anthem Blanchard from AnthemVault.com, who is growing this business in a whole new fashion. Make sure you check it out, AnthemVault.com. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. You missed an episode? LibertyTalk.fm will get you the download of not only the Bubba Show, but the Sporting Edge. We'll be right back with more from Anthem Blanchard here on the Bubba Show right after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with Anthem Blanchard from AnthemVault.com. And, of course, one of the experts in the metal space and also in the crypto space. So, you know, Anthem, as we go forward, what's going on with the Hayek?
Yeah, I mean, so we've gone through a transformation in the branding. We're now called Anthem Gold instead of Hayek Gold. That was some feedback that we got from some institutional investors. They really liked the name Anthem a lot, and they thought that we've already established the name Anthem quite a bit around gold. So we're actually going now with Anthem Gold. So that was an experience that happened a few months ago. And, you know, just kind of really looking to hone in all these little pieces, all these little pieces to chisel to make sure that we've got something that, you know, is going to be as blockbuster and as explosive and as dynamic and just propelled as possible. So it's been a matter of, you know, sometimes you got to listen to what other people around you are saying about adoption and doing different things. And, you know, I think we're onto something here. I think we're really honing in Anthem Gold to be something that, you know, is something beyond just like gold cryptocurrency, but ultimately something that can help really, you know, add the different dimensions and items and information with meeting, kind of even like trading, and you have all these different variables that you can have programmed in the trading. You know, so you can kind of think of that, this kind of similar type of metrics, but imagine with, you know, the payment system being able to pay as well as trade and all the different kind of coding that you can do there. So I think that, you know, there's big opportunity there ultimately. And, you know, we're excited to be a part of it. We got a great team working on cryptocurrency that we've been focused on for a long time now. And it's really come together. I mean, we've got great working tech. It's just a matter of making sure that we can get the right team around it to really, really give it the light and glory that it deserves and warrants. So it's, you know, it's always excruciating because I'm always wanting to go and get things out. But, you know, sometimes you have to do things in the right way. And, you know, you can't just launch something and kind of see what happens. You know, you have to really support something that's as big as Anthem Gold and gold cryptocurrency. So, you know, we've been very methodical. I really like the direction that we're going in. I like all the advances that we've made behind the scenes. So it's just a question of just seeing it out and finding the right people to work with. So we're just in the process of kind of narrowing down who we want to work with. It's been exhausting, but
well, you're a young guy who can work real hard, so it's okay. You should be exhausted, you know. Hey, so, you know, I know that you worked on, you know, obviously some retailers accept your form of payment, correct?
Yeah, you know, we had been going down that path. We had to put a hold on the gold cryptocurrency part for Anthem Vault because of regulatory. We needed to separate out the companies just because the regulatory distinction when you're paying somebody something is different than just like selling and buying gold and silver and metals from people. So that was the big reason that we kind of put things on hold and, you know, working out to find the right group to basically spin out this cryptocurrency from the company. So we have all the intellectual property in our company, Anthem Vault Inc., and, you know, being able to spin that out. It's really a matter of just, again, finding the right evangelistic crowd and building that up and making sure, you know, just ensuring success. So just doing everything we can to maximize the probability of a massive launch. And that's the whole concept. So, yeah, thank you, everyone, for being patient out there with us. We appreciate it. You know, thank you very much for supporting us early days. I know we've been on your show quite a bit and you know, a long time ago started talking about a lot of these concepts. So good things come to those who wait. So, you know, we thank everyone for their patience and, you know, for being clients at Anthem Vault, Amani Metals, Anthem National Reserve. It's appreciated. So, you know, we've got thousands and thousands of clients now, and, you know, we're thankful for each and every single one of them. So, on behalf of our company and all the people that work at our company, you know, we thank all of our clients. So,
no, it's great what you're doing, and you know, I love the innovation. Now, you know, when we look at some of the cryptocurrencies, now, what is your view now on Bitcoin? Is it going to make it? Is it going to be something real? Is it going to be a problem? What's your take today?
I mean, it looks pretty good to me right now. I mean, my general take right now is that I think it's gonna thrive, is my gut feel. But at the same time, you know, it's still less than 10 years old. So, you know, I mean, how things go, still really up in the air. I mean, kind of to see, you know, will there be a time period where, you know, there's going to be some kind of enough of a divergence of interest that it's going to cause problems. And, you know, I think at the end of the day, my view on it, as long as the Bitcoin stays secure, then Bitcoin will have value. I mean, as soon as, if anyone ever figured out how to, like, somehow make Bitcoin inoperable, which seems very difficult, I mean, and really impossible right now, but, you know, and nothing is really impossible, but, you know, it just seems incredibly difficult to conceive how that would happen right now. But, yeah, I think the fact that it's, you know, starting a Bitcoin is about $750 a Bitcoin, I think, something. I think it's going to depend on how this experiment kind of continues to be perceived. And, I mean, my view of it has always been that if governments are more and more draconian, then Bitcoin should have more and more value in theory, because it's a way to help protect yourself from confiscation of, you know, government tyranny. And so it's impossible to, there's no physical presence of it, right? So, you know, you can't even take down one server, because it doesn't just exist on a server. So it's, you know, very powerful from the standpoint of, like, nearly impossible to confiscate from somebody. So, you know, unless you, like, force torture them for their information, basically. So, you know, I think from that standpoint, I think it's here to stay. I don't know if it's going anywhere. I don't know how functional, you know, long term it will be in terms of keeping its value, keeping the function. You know, there's other temptations out there, like making it more divisible, that could dilute its value. But I think as long as it remains the most secure of all these blockchains and decentralized peer-to-peer networks, then, I mean, in theory, it should hold its value, at least until, like, we had a whole lot less government out there, where people could perceive, well, the confiscation risk has gone down so much that, you know, there's not as much of a premium established there for Bitcoin. I just think that I don't really see government, human nature mindset changing of, you know, being less, confiscating less. I do see people being more aware and savvy to it, government confiscating. So maybe it happens less now than it used to, but I think now it just happens more subtly. It just happens, taxation and fees and all kinds of regulations that you can argue in some cases aren't constitutional, or, you know, or government overreaching their authority. So, I think, hey, Bitcoin, people are trading it for value. It's not broken. It's clearing. So you got to respect the results. You know, people are ascribing value to it. So it is, you know, of value, right?
No, it definitely has, at least it has a perceived value. I'm not against it. I'm not really for it, because I don't really understand it. And some of the questions I'm going to ask you when we come back is going to be, you know, with all the smart, you know, computer thieves out there, you know, is it possible it can be counterfeited? Is it possible that, you know, it can be glommed onto by the government? I mean, there's a lot of things that, you know, I don't have the answer, but you'll have at least a more intelligible way of explaining it to me, because there's a lot of things out there, obviously, with technology that, obviously, if you can figure out how to mine the Bitcoin, maybe you can figure out how to counterfeit it. But we're going to step out here for a break. We are with our guy, our man, my friend, Anthem Blanchard from AnthemVault.com, and he's done just a world of good in this crypto space and trying to bring gold to everybody. And I think it's been really admirable what you're doing. And if you ever miss an episode here, and you want to hear more like from Anthem, you can go to libertytalk.fm and download the Bubba Show every day, as well as the Sporting Edge. In the meantime, also check out BubbaTrading.com, so you can go ahead and check out our hedging program. It'll be starting January 4th, and you can get a recording of the last one we did, so you can kind of get a feel for what it is. In the meantime, this is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We are going to step out here for a break and come back with more from Anthem Blanchard from Anthem Vault after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We're coming right back after the break. Thank you. What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here, the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got the Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report.
Hear that whistle, it's 10 o'clock.
Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with my friend Anthem Blanchard from AnthemVault.com. So, Anthem, is there a chance that the Bitcoin could be counterfeited?
And you can't really counterfeit Bitcoin because the units exist in like thousands upon thousands of different places at the same time. So the minute that, you know, someone tries to counterfeit or the equivalent, you know, Bitcoin, or try to like basically spend it more than once, let's say, which is a form of counterfeiting it, then, you know, ultimately the system knows. And so their checks and balances in place there for that. So I think counterfeiting is not really a problem for Bitcoin because you can get authentication, and you know because you're all these other places that know exactly what should be. But if one place, if one computer says, oh no, now it's different, The other computers know that that's not the case because it hasn't been verified by anybody else. It hasn't been verified by this group, you know, consensus is what they call it in Bitcoin, right? So it takes like, you know, these like six different consensus, and it takes these different points that you have to have, like, you know, multiple confirmations in order to actually like have new information that's inputted into this network. So That I think is not something to worry about with Bitcoin.
Now, who's the authenticator? So again, I have a trust issue in general. I mean, I have a trust issue with anything. You know, I mean, it's not just Bitcoin. I mean, I don't trust, you know, the counterfeit dollars I can get in my pocket either, right? But who is the authenticator? I mean, at least in real stuff that I know and I understand. Again, it's because I don't understand, not because I don't trust it. But who is the real authenticator? Who runs?
I guess you can kind of think of it like the vertical and the gold industry, because if you really look at who runs the gold industry, it's really the banks. So the banks really control the mining, the banks really control the refining, the banks really control the selling. So, you know, really look at it, you know, what is the gold industry? It's the banks, really, if you really look at it, you know, honestly, if you really look at it. So now let's turn to Bitcoin. So if you look at Bitcoin, who really owns Bitcoin then? And I would claim miners do. Miners really are the ones. They're the ones that are authenticating. It takes electricity basically to run. And all these different computers are running this electricity, and they're trying to do two things. They're trying to basically like find more Bitcoin mathematically. They're like hidden. Any of like being hidden on Earth, like buried all over the place, just like gold did, because it's like digitally buried in this algorithm. And like it takes more and more and more process, more and more electricity to find and solve these problems. In the process of computers solving these problems using more and more and more electricity, it's like lottery. It's literally like the lottery. It's just guessing. Once the lottery wins, once these computers win one of these lotteries, they get Bitcoin for winning, and then they also get fees. So people are paying payment fees also to pay Bitcoin to make them go faster. Because the more you pay, then the more likely your payment's going to get picked up faster by one of these computers that's, you know, solving for these equations. And that's part of this mining. So really, you know, the miners really are the ones that control this industry. And so they're the ones that are basically just like the banks ultimately owning the refiners and LBMA, that you really have the same thing with the miners, because really the miners are the ones that are both, quote-unquote, you know, mining the Bitcoin, and then they're also refining it or authenticating it, basically, into a form that people can then readily use, which is kind of like happens all at once, basically, with Bitcoin as opposed to gold or silver or metal, right, where it's like this process of getting the raw ore and putting it into a doré bar, which is kind of like a rough bar, and then it gets refined into like a really nice, pretty shiny bar that then gets sold, in blocks, usually, commercially, industrially. So, that's the gold industry and the metals industry and, real synopsis. So, mining and Bitcoin, that's really where the parallel is. Instead of the banks being in control, it's really the server farms of miners that are in control.
Now, how are the miners and the gold bugs and those, how are they accepting or taking the Trump president-elect as our new president?
I think it's too early for, I just speak personally, I think it's too early for anybody to really tell. I think there's a lot more obvious what to expect from a Hillary Clinton presidency, just because there's so much more voting there and, knowing about all the policies. I think with Donald Trump, I think it's a lot harder because, if you look at some of the statements the guy made, 10, 12 years ago, and you look at the statements that he made over the last 12 months, there are a lot of very different statements that were being made all over the place. And so I think the difference between pandering toward a populist audience to win an election and what you actually do once you're in office are two very different things. Like we've seen pretty much every presidential election, at least, for first-termers coming in. Right? I mean, it's all about peace presidents and peace. Obama was the peace president. Right? George Bush was the peace president. Obama won a, Nobel Prize, and I think his administration went and bombed up 7 or 8 countries. So, Bush Jr. administration, we all know how much bombing he did. And so you have here are two presidents that before they were elected, they were talking about peace. And, that's the same thing that Donald Trump was talking a lot about, too. Getting out of, peace and aggression and, we'll see. We'll see. He talks a big game, and I think he has. I respect someone a lot more that has a lot of business experience versus just being a bureaucrat. But we'll see. Talk is cheap.
All right. Well, I can live with that. I personally like the message he sends. I like what he's done so far.
I do too. Well, I love George Bush Jr.'s message too. But you know what happened? The first 2 years George Bush Jr. was in office, so we had a huge war. We ended up going into countries that had nothing even to do with 9/11. And then on top of that, so the one time in the last, how many decades, I think it goes back to Hoover maybe, that we had a Republican in the executive, legislative, and judicial, they passed Medicare Part D, which was the biggest government boondoggle, I would argue, since Lyndon Baines Johnson. Since he started that mess. That's what you got. So, we're now looking at the same the same scenario here, practically. Judicial is even, but executive and legislative, they're both Republican. So, yeah, I'm nervous as hell. As a guy that doesn't like a lot of government in my life, or a guy that does not, wants to minimize government, it scares me.
Well,
15 years ago, Todd, it really fucked things up badly. Excuse my French, but
that's all right.
It really did.
You do speak French, I know, so that's okay. Now, I think that I like the people that he's brought on. I just believe that it's better for everybody. I think there will be less government, and I think that's, you and I have the same goal there, is to have a smaller federal government and turn back a government to the states, and especially, like I said, like Texas, who told Obama to go shove it when he threatened to take away their funding when they were talking about the transgender bathroom. So, I'm looking forward to the country being run like a business, not like a cash hole. I'm looking for the restructuring or the ending of the Federal Reserve, which I think will be done with a Trump presidency, because I do think that we are going to now see, more of a budget and watching the budget instead of continuing to print and bring in more money. So those are things that I look at. Now, again, I just want it to work, right? I don't care who's in. I mean, at this point now, we got to hope that it works the best for all the American people, because after the election, except for this one, we are all Americans, and it should be just let's hope that everything gets better for everybody. What do you think?
Well, I think, first of all, that government shouldn't be a business, and I think that it's unfortunate that we think of it like that. I mean, I'd argue that it goes back to corporatism from the 30s and Italy and Germany, pre-World War II. And this idea that government can somehow be run, if you have a good enough administrator, I would argue it can't be. And that's why you have to reduce the size of government as much as possible.
That is correct. That is why there is no business that would run with the over expenditures. First of all, you couldn't. You'd be in jail or in bankruptcy court. But you would. There is no way you can run what they're trying to run the way they've run for the last, I don't know, 20 years, 25 years, however long it's been.
No way.
Each president has brought in more debt, and without ever looking at a budget. And of course, you know, from dealing in these worlds, that, you know, they think if they didn't spend enough, they spend more to make sure they get the same budget the next year. But that's enough politics. I don't want to spend the show, because I got a couple more things I want to talk to you. I want to talk to you about the Federal Reserve. And I want to talk to you about my opinion that I don't think that there is enough gold to handle the paper gold that is being sold out there. So when we come back from the break with my guy, Anthem Blanchard from Anthem Vault, we're going to talk about those issues, because I think those are important. And I think that these are things that we need to look to in the future, because I think those could cause some problems. So we'll be back with Anthem Blanchard after the break. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, and make sure you go to libertytalk.fm. It's the only station you really need, and you can get the download of The Bubba Show as well as The Sporting Edge. And also, you must go to bubbatrading.com as we get ready to move into 2017. We want to make sure that we're able to plan for the upcoming year and how to position ourselves in our portfolios with the right way, and so we can protect ourselves. So we go to the bubbatrading.com and check that out. We'll be back after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, and we'll be back with Anthem Blanchard right after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with my friend, my man, Anthem Blanchard from AnthemVault.com. You must check him out as well. He is the innovator, the leader, and got a great bloodline for being in the gold business. All right, Anthem, the Federal Reserve sucks. I've always said it. I mean, they're clueless, they're ignorant, they're incompetent. Okay, but is there a chance that either this administration at some point that we ever fix that problem, or in your opinion, do they stay the same garbage that they are and just continue to issue secondaries on my cash in my pocket?
I think they're forced into the latter of having to continue to issue secondaries, unfortunately, Bubba. I think what can be done is that you can repeal legal tender laws, or president could, and with really Congress, really it would take a massive effort, I think, by a president, maybe threatening to just continuously veto. And really, it's going to take, I think, more so than that, though, it's going to take enough pain for the general population to even understand what's going on. And I just don't see that pain being there yet. I mean, I really think that a complete abolition of, central bank in just cold turkey, without first having other alternatives in place could be dangerous, to say the least. I think you'd have to have some kind of phasing out phase that you'd want to have at least, for a few years, I would think. I mean, but giving people the choice of what to choose to pay their government bills, of recognized forms of value, I think would be a big big leap forward. I mean, that's the problem is that as long as you have central banks, in my opinion, and they're able to issue currency instead of just being able to have a central bank issued bonds and notes, based on the government's ability to collect taxes, having the currency, a nationally issued currency itself, is a tax on the entire population. So I know it's a really controversial topic, because there's a lot of people that think that it's vital to have a central bank in order to actually have a nation. But I would disagree with that. And there's other forms that the government can use to raise revenue. I think it's just I really think it's a matter of the government is way more involved in way more things than it needs to be at this point in history. It's just technology and economies of scale, and the ability to do things so much more efficiently. Communication runs just ridiculously more efficiently than it did a few hundred years ago, once we had all of these kind of established mindsets of like what government should do for us, what it was supposed to do for us, that, you know, I don't think you can really fix the Fed or anything.
Well, but the Fed isn't government. I mean, it's a private corporation that's owned by the banks. And of course, you've heard the term the banks are gangsters, which comes from your side of the aisle. So,
well, I would say that, you know, it's, you know, the banks get a percentage of it and they get massive influence on it. I mean, and technically, I would say it's technically a U.S. government enterprise, really, but it's massively influenced by these private interests who also get a small dividend out of it, which is a pretty big dividend in the grand scheme of things. But if we're dealing with, you know, the Chases of the world, it's relatively small relative to their entire cash. But I think it's the influence that they have. It's this corporatism that, you know, when we refer to it in the form of, you know, Italy and Germany in the 30s and 40s, it typically referred to that as fascism. But really, it's just the means that corporatism, fascism is really just this idea that, you know, the state drives all economic activity. And I think that's really what you have with the banks. You have this, I don't know what you'd call it, codependent, I guess, relationship between the commercial banks and the central banks that, you know, the two have always been intertwined. Up until now, you have this negative interest phenomenon. Because now, and I think that the longer we get into this negative interest rate phenomenon, now you have a chasm between the central banks and the commercial banks, because now the two are not aligned, you know, because now it's cheaper. If you get negative, basically below negative 25 basis points, it's pretty much cheaper for a commercial bank to vault cash locally than it is to house it digitally at the central bank. So that's a problem for the central bank.
Well, but
they're acquired, like a lot of draconian measures from central banks all over the place to try to police them.
Well, they're
not, that's when it's going to fall apart.
I think that all the central banks are in cahoots together. I think that they take turns manipulating the whole system, but they are not government regulated. They are actually independently regulated, but they have, and they get to take and do kind of what they want, which really only benefits the big banks, which really puts a hurt and a hurting on the smaller banks.
Well, if there's one guy that probably knows a hell of a lot about all those kinds of dynamics, my guess, I've never met the guy, but I guess it would be Mr. Wilbur Ross, you know, being former managing director of Rothschild Investment Bank. So, I mean, if he doesn't know, you know, all the ins and outs of all the different central banks in the world or know how to get to them, then I don't know who would. But, I mean, I think that Donald Trump is certainly, you know, he's got a lot of, you know, former Goldman Sachs guys in there working with him. He's got a lot of guys that know their way around the system, that's for sure. So I think now the question will be kind of what he does with it all, you know, how he uses the network. So we'll see. You know, hope springs eternal, right?
or hope springs a kernel. But all right, so now when we look at gold, I'm concerned that there's too many gold ETFs and there ain't enough gold to cover all the paper gold that's been put out there. Any thought?
Oh, that's, I mean, I think it goes without saying. I mean, with COMEX, I mean, specifically, I mean, what is it, up to like 500-to-1 leverage or something like that? What's in the vault versus what's paper? I mean, some absurdity. So I think it's spot on. I think that, you know, at least as it goes with COMEX, and I would say, as it goes with any ETF where the custodian or sub-custodian is a bank, because by the nature of bank accounting, any asset there is commingled on their balance sheet, because that's how it lays down in the court of law, you know, when there isn't a massive insolvency event. So, you know, I'd say that, yeah, you know, you really want a physical, unencumbered, fully allocated, you know, however that is, whether it's in your hand or in your own safe or in somebody else's safe, as long as that safe isn't being run by a bank. Our bank isn't anywhere in that value chain in terms of being custodian, sub-custodian, something. The issue is that bank law it usurps property law. So as an individual, you always have to remember that. You know, you get the privilege. I mean, we all use banks. I love a lot of the functionality of brokerage and trading and leverage and things. But, you know, the flip side of that is that it's the bank's money. They give you the privilege to use all these features and functions and credit. So, you know, gold represents no one else's liability. It's your asset. It's yours. You own it. It's your property. So that's what we do at Anthem Vault with Amagi Metals, with Anthem National Reserve, with Anthem Gold. You know, we are unencumbered. It's not a proxy to gold. It is gold. You know, it's gold that you own. It's not encumbered. There's no third parties that are there that can put any liabilities. It is yours. So, you know, we safeguard it as a non-bank custodian. So we are not a bank in Anthem Vault. You know, we don't deal with any kind of bank as far as it comes to vault operating. So we never have to worry. Our clients never have to worry about encumbrances in Anthem Vault. And of course, if it's coins, then it's in your hand or in your pocket or in your safe. So, you know, that's yours and not encumbered either. So, yeah, that's what we do here.
You get access
to property and value.
You got 30 seconds. Give yourself one more good plug, because I encourage everybody to check out Anthem Vault. So give yourself 30 seconds and give yourself a good plug.
Well, if you haven't been able to tell by this interview, that then yeah, you can tell we're passionate about liberty. You can tell we're passionate about the causes of having someone being able to own what they own and not have to worry about it being taken away by some government or some other entity that's tied to a government or has control over government. So that's who we are at Anthem Vault. You know, if you want to be a part of what we're doing, you know, I'd love for you to check us out, anthemvault.com, amagimetals.com. They're, you know, great places to start. You can check us out, social, Facebook, Twitter. So, you know, love to check everything out. If y'all want to email me or contact me, you can directly. Actually, give me a Twitter. It's Anthem Hayek is my handle at Twitter. It's the best way to reach me, the fastest way. And or you can just send us a message to our support line at anthemvault.com. So you can check us out there. So,
Anthem
Blanchard. Thank you, Bubba. Appreciate it.
Anthem Blanchard of anthemvault.com. Thank you so much. Always great to have you on the show.
Pleasure, Todd. Thank you.
That was our guy, Anthem Vault. Anthem Blanchard at anthemvault.com. Check it out. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. LibertyTalk.fm gets you all the downloads of not only The Bubba Show, but The Sporting Edge on the weekends. Make sure you check it out. Everybody, we appreciate you being here. And, of course, we know you enjoyed our guy Anthem, because he brings us always good information. This is The Bubba Show. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Same time, same station. Have a great day, everybody. Thank you so much for being here. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll see you tomorrow.
Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk FM.